Here's what you missed on Kennedy Malloy. HSV didn't miss anything when they re-engineered the Chevrolet Silverado for Australian roads. Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, Australia. Welcome to the big Wednesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick
Hello,
Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Day.
G'day, Mick, Jane.
Everyone happy?
Yes, everyone's good. All up and about today.
What could go wrong? Big show. We're going to talk about bad behaviour. There's been plenty of evidence of it. In particular, those who grabbed their bags when a plane crashed in Russia.
Oh, my God.
Meaning other people couldn't get off it.
Yes. It's really insane.
Well, you got your bag, they incinerated down the back.
But, you know, you've got to make sure you get that wet pack.
That's right. Hey, so we'll be talking bad behaviour. Have you seen any? Have you identified any? Your chance to give us a call at some stage.
Speaking of bad behaviour, do you know that there's a call for and there's an event, Mother's Day, for dogs? For people with dogs.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm the first one who loves a dog, but, you know.
What's Mother's Day got to do with it?
Because you're a mum to your doggy.
No, you're barren. You can't have children. It's not your day.
You have to delete that word barren.
Forget about it.
Well, I'm going to get rid of that. Hey, food fetishes.
Oh, okay. Here we go. So I'm going to talk about a few things. Oh, this is about the guy.
Yeah, there's a guy at McDonald's who's caused a big drama because he didn't think he had. It's the way he eats his McNuggets. Do you eat your food a weird way? Your fast food.
What's your peccadillo? What's your fetish when it comes to food?
Yes.
I've got one.
We've received some weird ones. You've got. Would you want to save it?
No, I'll save it.
Please do.
Yeah, I won't do it now.
Yeah,
I don't want to jump the gun. Hey, we buried the lead. Our very special guest today is Ben Elton.
Whoa. Excellent.
Got a new film out, All Is True, based on The Bard.
Now,
I love The Bard.
I love The Bard too. I've done a few of The Bard's plays in my time.
Yeah, I've butchered a few.
Have you?
Who's playing The Bard?
Kenneth Brown.
Good luck with that. We'll get to that. I can't wait to have a chat to Ben.
And Andy Lee's coming in too.
Andy Lee.
Yes.
Is
do you remember
right?
him?
I do.
He's now quite
he's
on up tonight. And coming is it young talent.
What's the show he's on tonight?
Talking about your generation.
Yeah, 7:30 tonight on 9.
Is that the one I saw him hitting on Sophie Monk?
Yes, it is. We'll talk about that.
It's like he's.
Oh, it's caused a lot of drama at home.
Embarrassing.
It is. And Sophie's got a boyfriend too.
Put your tongue back in your mouth. Andy.
Hey, Nanny State.
Oh, baby.
Oh, we got a few of these.
It's full as a gorg. Yes. We're going to take your calls. We're going to take your tweets. So much to wade through.
I'll be saying, you've got your phone in your hand.
God. What's happening?
Look, I always worry with you.
Technology lets me down.
Yes, it does. I worry about
technology
you.
Technology is stupid.
It's not your strong suit.
It was supposed to make life better. It was supposed to make life easier. It does nothing but cause me grief. So
you get very frustrated too, Mick, when you really do. You express it very clearly.
Because it doesn't freaking work.
See?
What's happened?
So I
told you not to get a 10 plus, an iPhone 10 or whatever you've got. First of all, you have to use face recognition, and sometimes I can't tell when it's you, depending on whether you had a big night or not. It takes a while to kick in.
I come home with two black eyes, a broken nose that refuses to open. Remember when it was the thumb?
Yes.
I put on so much weight on an overseas trip, when I came back, it wouldn't recognise my thumbprint. That's funny. I was too fat.
Right. Now, but what have you done? What you've done now is so excruciating.
I'm really upset with myself. Oh. So, some time ago, I was seeing a girl, and all was good. Anyway, we just drifted apart. She went overseas. I was doing something else completely, and everything was fine. And then I get up on Monday morning, and I've pocket dialed this girl like 13 times.
Oh, my God.
No, including awkward. Two Facebooks.
No, FaceTime.
FaceTimed her.
Mick, that's terrible because if she was still keen on you,
I think you can rule that out.
It's almost then it's like you're stalking her.
Yeah, it's like a stalking.
Oh, yeah.
That is Michael.
So to smooth it over, I sent through a dick pic, which I just thought, look, sorry about that. But then I had to go. I had to make sure she knew it was a pocket doll.
But that's even worse to say. I really didn't want to contact
you. I had to follow it up. Hi, sorry, I'm a dick. Mm. Just realised I may have called you 13 times within half an hour. Now I've done the homework.
Yeah. Now you did some detective work. It's been bothering you.
Let's say her name is Shazza.
Okay.
Oh, and I have gone and looked at,
so we said,
the name next door in my phone book
is it one
the
you
number
go to?
I needed to call over the weekend. So somehow my phone's turned itself on and then decided he's had it too good for too long. Let's pocket dial.
Yeah.
But how does this work? Why is your phone now? I would like to put it out there. Someone will know. Because I've just said, well, how do you bum dial? Isn't your phone locked in your pocket all the time?
No.
Which do you put your eyebrows up? Which only non-Botox people can do. It's a prize. And looked at me and you go, locking your phone, Gene. What is this you speak?
What is this? What is it?
Well, Dave, can you explain what I'm talking about? When you lock your phone, you've got a passcode, so you can't just...
I don't have a passcode. My passcode is my face, Jane.
So you can't... You can't bum dial anything on my phone
now. Locked.
Because it's locked.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's antisocial. But how do I lock mine?
Well, you just normally tap it on the side, don't you? Does that lock it automatically or give it a two taps at the front? Unlocks?
Do you know how to go to settings? Do you know that
how
bit?
How long has this been going on?
Your face is unlocking it, though. You know that, don't you?
Oh, my face is unlocking it.
Yeah, because you're holding your phone in front of your face.
It wouldn't lock.
Well, that's a fault Apple's got.
Hey, thanks a lot, Apple.
Yes, hang on. People are calling through. They're going to have some answers here. I'm sure you'll have to go to settings.
Yeah. There's a way you can
actually, hang on, Chris has got an idea, some thoughts. Hey, Chris, what's your thoughts of how we can control this?
Well, maybe he should change his facial recognition from his bum.
Let's recognise your butt.
Your
face recognition. See, my face looks like my bum.
Yeah.
Get stuffed, Chris. No, it's not a big problem. All right, we'll get to the bottom of
this. We will.
But Apple, yes, I'll go to Samsung tomorrow
if they can...
Make sure I don't.
They're going to have to iOS do another update
on it. Aren't they doing one where they can stop people now drunk texting? Isn't there some app where you can go send a text and you've still got half an hour or something
but
now?
What if you're totally pissed and then you've got to go, where's that app? What's it called?
Yeah, true.
I've tried it.
You Jane's quite skilled with it.
Yeah, haven't bothered with me. quite happy to fire those.
Oh, I am.
All right, we're here thanks to HSV. The Chevrolet Silverado does everything big, very big.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Heath's on the line. Heath, are you there? What do you want?
I try to, go to Wikipedia to update James' page.
Okay, now just quickly stop you there. So what happened on yesterday's show?
People had been trying to muck around with my Wikipedia page and increase my age.
Increase your age.
And not only that, put a bogus salary that I'd love to earn and a few other bits and bobs.
That's not on.
People started frigging around with it and they put it on hold.
And then they've stopped any access to your page. So what's your point, Heath?
Oh, well, I was going to do something nice because everyone else was being a bugger. So I went to Urban Dictionary and I looked up the name Jane and it said sweet and charming.
Oh.
Isn't Jane just a charmer?
Is that the sarcastic dictionary?
Pick your pardon.
The dictionary of sarcasm.
Oh, thank you, Heath, for trying that. Let's put Heath on the standby list.
Get off, Heath.
Good luck. You might be going to the centre of Australia for the Big Red Bash Experience featuring Midnight Oil.
Oh, how good would that be?
See you there, Heath.
Oh, my God. All right, time for a bit of this.
Absolutely outrageous.
It's shocking, isn't it?
Who do they think they are?
Kennedy Malloy's bad behaviour.
Okay. Now, look, none of us are perfect. And occasionally we let ourselves down and you look at yourself and you go, I can do better than that.
Yep.
I'm better than that. Yeah. And you need to dust yourself off and fly right. Well, I mention it because these people are quite disgusting. Are you aware of this aircraft accident?
I saw it on the
news. It was an Aeroflot crash. It's crashed on the runway. The back half of the plane is on fire. And people are being evacuated out the front, but people and those sitting up the front are emerging, and there's footage taken inside and outside of them with their carry-on luggage. So what they've done is while the plane is burning and there are people down the back on fire,
right?
They are reaching into their overhead baggages.
And still grabbing.
And grabbing stuff and asking for their coat and going...
Like nothing's happened.
Like they're getting off.
They're just getting off.
At JFK or something. If you see the pictures, it is an inferno.
The death toll's reached 41 people who perished on that flight.
Footage taken of the emergency evacuation of the Emirates plane that crashed shows dozens of passengers holding up the process by taking their bags out of the overhead luggage. as the cabin fills with smoke. In one video taken inside the plane, flight attendants can be heard screaming, "Leave your bags, jump, jump, get on the slide." So it's not the only example. God. There's been there was a British Airways flight recently, and a couple of others where the same thing has occurred. Airline attendants have said it is the greatest threat or of behaviour they've ever seen in planes. What the hell is that?
That's
dreadful.
That is nuts. It should. They're saying it should take 90 seconds to evacuate a plane.
Yeah.
With a seating capacity of more than 44 passengers in emergency.
Because I know, Jane, when I get upset, if like when a normal plane, you're trying to get out, and then some idiot who hasn't got himself organised in advance.
Hasn't even stood up yet. And so then they go.
Yeah. Oh, all of a sudden, old matey.
Fishing
around.
Oh, it's the worst.
Now, imagine you look at that and you're on fire.
Yep.
No, mate, after you dick. So that has inspired today's bad behaviour. Right. I put it up there.
Okay.
With people who fake cancer.
Yep.
Yeah. Being hello to Belle Gibson, who's on my list.
Yep.
So I think she's a catch.
Not quite. I've got one, this dreadful story where a couple, their baby was dying. They had photos of her over 18 months of her life. The phone was stolen. They pleaded for it to be returned just to get the photos back.
We just want our photos back.
But a woman demanded $1,000 in return for the phone. Extortion.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Blackmail.
Yeah.
She never had the phone.
So firstly, if she did have the phone, she would be a disgrace, a pig.
Yes.
She would see even that behaviour.
And that she would even make these parents go through even more hell than they were already going through. The fact she didn't even have the flipping phone.
She's up there.
Yep.
She's in jail now. No, they've sent her to jail.
Did they?
Yeah, they bloody sent her to jail.
Good on them. I love that. That's a win. What about people who wear war medals that aren't theirs? I reckon
fake a war history, a war past.
If you fake your military history, I think you are the baddest of the bad. You're right up there.
Ouch.
So you get the idea. We're going to come back. We've got quite a few of these
to
go. Is one you want to go out to the break with? Is there something you...
Well, Jason Ackermanis.
What's he done?
Well, I think this might be up there with you for all those other ones. Cheating at golf.
Oh, my God.
Well, if there's one thing I know...
Forget faking cancer. This is the worst.
Do you know what? We might come back to it.
That's the worst accusation you can make.
I know.
Oh,
yeah. And he's in the thick of it. But I just want to get into
He'll have to enter a witness protection scheme.
I think he's going
cooked.
To have to.
All right.
I'll investigate
Give us a call, 133353. Bad behaviour, evidence of it. What is it? Let us know.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Bad behaviour we're talking here. 133353. If you've got an example, why don't you give us a call?
It's in honour of the people who let people die at the back of the plane while they rummaged around for their hand luggage.
Terrific.
Before departing the plane.
Wouldn't you do that?
Well done.
We were talking about things that are bad behaviour and there's a big list. Other people, fake cancer.
Hit and run drivers. Hit and run drivers.
Oh, yeah.
People who steal from charity tins.
That's low.
that's always a good one when something comes up.
That's a
guide
game
dog
changer.
For the blind.
Oh, my God.
It's terrible that those things have to be on chains down at your local
fish and chip shop. Isn't it terrible? Well, one of the things that I mentioned is cheating at golf.
Cheating at golf. Now, this is up there to me.
Well, we know Donald Trump is
treason.
Donald Trump cheats at golf.
There's a whole book.
There's an entire book about
cheating at golf. And if anything does bring this man down, it will be the fact that he cheats at golf.
That's right.
He drove a buggy up onto a green to putt in and drove off.
But why? And everyone's so scared to tell him off. Because he owns the golf course he was probably playing on. That's what happened. All right. Now, former Brisbane AFL champion Jason Ackermanis.
Jason Ackermanis has been accused.
He's been accused now.
By how many clubs?
Three.
Whoa!
I reckon if it's one, two... There's three clubs. There's a bit of a link here.
Once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't turn up anywhere.
It's difficult. Now, Jason was actually pursuing a professional career as a golfer. Did you know this?
Yeah, I've heard that.
And he has he's gone from scratch. He's got his handicap to scratch, which is a good start.
Well, has he?
Well, it's a good start. Well, he has been given his marching orders from three clubs in the area he lives in, which is Albury, Wodonga.
Three clubs is fairly...
it's allegations of cheating and heated confrontations with fellow members.
Right.
And he's seeking clarification. on a couple of the issues because he says that the reality is the crime doesn't fit the punishment. Right. He said the reason for the bans includes signing an incorrect scorecard, abusing fellow.
Is this all stuff he's done?
Allegedly.
I've seen his golf card.
Abusing fellow golfers.
Could win a Miles Franklin Award for fiction.
Hang on. Abusing fellow golfers after they moved his cart and having extra shots during a charity day. Now, he's clarified this one.
Yeah, the charity's not for him.
No, but
he
said...
The charity's not for his golfer.
He said during the charity day, they only had three in their group and the organisers said... He's written to Golf Australia about this. Thank you very much. He's so pissed off. He said, they asked me to play extra shots because there was only three in the group.
Right.
Now, you're laughing at this, but why couldn't
Hang
that
on,
be
there's
true? No,
there's only three of us, so I'll take all
As
the
said,
other
the
shots.
The organiser said you can have a bunch of extra shots. That's
okay.
What he said.
All right.
All right.
Well, if that's his defence, he's cooked.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that in a charity day when an organiser says, you've only got three.
You're still playing everyone else in the charity game. So even though it's for charity, someone has to win the charity day and it can't be Jason Ekamanis who gets four shots more than everyone else.
Oh.
It just doesn't make sense.
Well, I was trying to defend him in
and
that.
He says, we've only three in our group. Go for your life.
All right.
I imagine that in the last day at the Masters. Oh, look, Tiger. There's only two of you today, so why don't you play a couple of games up the field?
You're a bit behind. Have a couple of others.
Hey, we've got Chucky on the line.
Chucky!
Hey,
what's happening, buddy?
Mick, Jay, how are you?
Good, matey.
Yeah, what's going on?
Massive fan of you guys. Hey, listen to that thing about Jason. Dead true, mate. Yeah. I'm a member of Lanesbury.
Yeah?
He'll hit up on you every day of the week.
What do you mean? He's cheating. Really?
No, hit up on you. Like, you'd be playing in front of him. You'd just hit up.
I just hit up on you. Oh, that's rude.
Oh, you're not allowed to do that either.
It can't
be. We used to actually put balls in front of us and hit back at him.
Wow. God, well, he's having a bit of strife on the golf course, isn't it?
That's just rude. That's not cheating. That's just bad etiquette.
Well, look, there's so much etiquette involved in golf, I know.
Yeah, well.
And that doesn't sound good. What did you say about footy players hooning on the green at your club?
Yeah. This is what I was talking about today, actually, in Ainsbury. I've been asked not to tell you who they were, but they were from a prominent football club.
Yeah, all right.
And by himself, he's a terrific bloke. But
Brownie. I'm going to say Brownie.
Are you?
Jonathan Brown.
Jonathan Brown.
Don't
say that.
It's typical of him.
You'll be in trouble.
There was three peanuts with him from the same club. They were drawing
Carlton? Was it Carlton?
No, I'm Carlton boy. Nicky. Was in the Carlton boy, we're not allowed out.
Are they in the top eight?
Definitely in the top eight.
Oh.
Okay, keep going with the story,
Geelong.
Chucky.
Yeah.
No, shut up, Mick, and let Chucky tell the story.
You wouldn't believe he'll hit up on.
Who?
Samuel Johnson.
Oh, our friend.
Right. You're dropping a few names out
Samuel
there,
Johnson, who's just won Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, Gold Logie winner.
I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but he's on that Molly show, yeah?
Yeah, that's him.
Hang on, Jane. Samuel Johnson made a lot of money for charity, so he should get as much money as many shots as he wants.
He was a terrific bloke, but these other guys, we were giving him a spray and they were still driving. They got told off by the ground staff and they were still driving everywhere.
Okay.
Chucky, it's not on. Let's put you on the standby list. You sound like a Midnight Oil fan.
Yeah, well done, Chucky. Thanks for that.
Oh, man.
Have we got time for a quick one? John's on the line. John, you've seen some evidence of bad behaviour?
Yeah, I was at a funeral on Friday, and while the daughter was giving the eulogy, the deceased's sister picked up her phone, and the phone was actually ringing for about 30 seconds before she actually picked it up.
No.
And then took the call. And then walked down the end of the chapel, proceeded to just keep talking on the phone.
What the hell?
And everyone was just giving her the death stare.
What the actual hell?
Unless the call was from the newly departed.
That is terrible.
So put him on the list.
Yeah, that's a ripper. Thanks, everyone.
Might be you going to the centre of Australia and seeing Midnight Oil play just outside the Simpson Desert on the highest sand dune.
We're going to keep going with this one. 3353. Bad behaviour. Plenty of evidence of it. And these are accusations of cheating. I would have thought maybe the language was a bit strong from you.
I beg your pardon?
What
do you mean?
Suggesting he did cheat.
I did not say that at all. Listen to the tape, Ackers. Okay. Listen to the tape.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Absolutely outrageous.
It's shocking, isn't it?
Who do they think they are?
Kennedy Malloy's bad behaviour.
Yes.
We're still right in the middle of it, smack bang in the middle of bad behaviour. We've got some calls on the line. I'll tell you, but people who spoilers at movies. You were going on about this.
What's going on about it?
If you walk out of a movie going, wow, I can't believe Thor lost both legs.
Just be careful when you walk out of a movie. There's movie etiquette involved. You do not start talking about the plot.
Someone got beaten up in Hong Kong.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Fair call.
So they should.
All right.
We've got a few to go to now. Let's go to Tanya.
Yep.
Hey, Tanya.
Hey, guys. Yeah?
Bad behaviour.
How are you doing?
You've seen some bad behaviour?
Yeah, I saw some bad behaviour for about 9 years. I lived as an expat in the Middle East, and people would take over their pets, and when they got the heave-ho out of the country, they literally kicked their pets out in 53 degrees heat and expect them to survive in the desert.
Oh my God.
Because it was too expensive to take them back to their own home countries. So me and some crazy cat and dog people used to drive around and pick them up and give them their vaccinations and put them on flights and through agencies around the world. Find their forever homes in, like, England or Canada.
My God.
That's unreal. Right?
Now, that's a great charity to have and a great thing to do, and you are right. That is disgraceful behaviour.
Put her on the list, Dave.
Yeah.
Good luck. Love going to see Midnight Oil.
Good on you, Tanya.
Have you got a pet yourself, Tanya?
Oh, well, I actually bought back 8 cats, and me and my husband are homed about 80. We support a refuge in the Philippines through some people and one in Wales.
Good people come out of bad behaviour.
Well, there's no animal welfare shelter over there, so how these people ever thought that these pets were ever going to survive is just beyond me. So,
well done,
thank
Tanya.
Thank you, Tanya.
Great stuff.
We know why there's no shelter.
I need a couple of dogs. I want to...
I think we know what happens with the dogs.
Take to the fights.
Okay. Hey, Natasha.
What's wrong with
you? You've got an example of some bad behaviour, and I believe it's your own mother.
Yes, my sister had a transplant last year, and now she needs another one because the kidney wasn't so great.
Mm.
And my sister called her, and she drove her from Kingsbury to Coburg, but made her get the tram the rest of the way to the Royal Melbourne Hospital.
Yeah, that's pretty appalling.
Yeah, she was short of breath and had an enlarged heart.
Hang on, Natasha. What was her objection to driving the rest of the way?
She just didn't want to pay for parking, I think.
Oh, my God. Well, there you go. That's bad behaviour. Parking fees at hospitals.
Yeah, that's
costs too much.
I think
it's outrageous.
As a mum, you get a few...
Get out of jail cards?
Get out of jail cards.
Maybe not that one. Hey, Dana, how are you going?
Hi, good, guys. How are you?
Good. Yeah, good. Behaviour, bad behaviour.
Shocking behaviour. Out at tea, the next table across from us, one of the kids spills their spaghetti. The floor is carpeted because it's a pub, and the parent picks it up, puts back on the plate, and demands the child eat it.
And the child starts
eating it. And I was like, my gosh, how can you do that to a child, you feral person? But yeah, we had to sit there. That's shocking. That's beyond bad. Yeah. That's shocking. Poor child.
All right, Dana.
That's terrible.
Dana, you've made your point.
Yeah.
Strong and hard. Okay. Reese, what's going on?
Mick, how are you?
Bad behaviour?
Smoking in the car with children.
Oh, look, we all grew up with that. I'm all right. Going a bit far, aren't you, Reese? I just grew up with a bit of soft Kent in the car with the windows up in Dad's LTD.
Reese, when I smoke in the car with the kids, I offer them one as well, just to make sure.
That is bad behaviour.
Just to make it good. Thank you, Reese.
You know, there was a time, Reese, when that was not unusual behaviour.
Oh, no.
There was a time when you could, on a plane, we'd sit here in this office in our studio.
I think when I first started radio, I remember about four of us fagging in the studio.
Ashtrays everywhere.
Speaking of cars, I'm going to throw one in.
Yeah.
18 people have been killed this year on roads in Victoria.
Right.
Not wearing seatbelts.
Really?
What is going on? Who does not put a seatbelt on today? And they're all men have been. This
Idiots.
Is what's being recorded. Put your seatbelts on, you tools.
That's easy.
That's easy. Another one. There is somebody putting tax on the road, bully tax. You know, those little metal tax and another road doing the rounds for cyclists.
That's
for God's sakes, track this person down.
I'd put that down to just a bit of harmless fun.
No,
really?
Not.
Good clean
fun?
That's
not really.
That's terrible.
Really
that's
not up there with faking cancer.
It's not right up
there. We've got time for one more. Jim.
Yeah. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Mick. Hello, Jane. How are we?
Yeah, really well.
Good. Bad behaviour?
Okay. My brother at my wedding had a few too many and decided to... My wife's father had recently passed a couple of years before, so she had a symbolic rose on the table. My brother decided to eat the rose. That was about 9 o'clock at night at the reception. My mother told him time to go upstairs to the rooms.
Yeah.
At 2 a.m, if that wasn't bad enough, I hear this loud noise. He's running up and down the hall spraying the fire hydrant in everyone's room.
No,
wow. He sounds like a good guy.
Oh. Yeah, he's a concreter, Mick. He loves his drink.
He's just a party boy.
He's just having some fun. So,
I didn't get any last night, and he got a fine for the fire hydrant. So
That's what happens. Jim. Bad behaviour. Well done, everybody. Hey, we'll be back in a minute with Andy Lee.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
In tonight's episode of Your Gen, 7:30 on 9, Andy Lee gets in some hot water with Sophie Monk.
Will you find love tonight?
No, I'm not looking for it tonight. Are we on the wrong show?
No.
Are you hitting on me?
No, I'm not hitting on you. Okay. Well, if my girlfriend's watching, I am definitely not hitting on...
If my boyfriend's watching, I think he is.
But is Andy's girlfriend, Beck, worried by the revelations Andy's made in the last couple of days that he went on some dates with Lily Allen?
We went on 2 dates before she probably came to her senses. I was in a band at the time and I wrote a song about it, and Beck thought that was so lame and she nearly broke up with me.
just as a result. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Would you please welcome back Andy Ladies Man Lee?
Oh. Do you want to be single again or something?
No.
What are you doing?
No, this has been a snowball from hell. This.
Wow.
But Beck, I think this shows how comfortable Beck is at the moment in the relationship.
Mm.
Not worried in the slightest. Mm. She's like, and she's right.
All your suits are going to be slashed on outside the football.
No, she's right. She's
this
like
has got all the hallmarks of someone getting their penis cut off. I've seen this before. It's all fun.
Beck is a very, especially also you locked her in a bathroom.
Yeah.
Overnight.
It's not a good look.
You've done quite a few things when I add them up.
What's going on with Sophie Monk?
Mm.
Sophie Monk's on the show tonight.
Mm.
What's amazing about Sophie Monk is there is not a filter between her brain and her mouth. During manufacturing, they left the filter out. I don't know if she was ever there.
No.
And at one point in tonight's episode, we're pulling props out of a basket, and the idea of the game is to guess what celebrity the prop might belong to.
Mm-hmm.
I pull out a military helmet and I said it could be someone from the Hurt Locker. You know, Jeremy Renner, Oscar-winning film. She looks at me a bit inquisitively. I'm like, oh, what's going to come out now? She goes, the shoe store. I said, no, not Foot Locker.
See?
Not Foot Locker. I don't think the answer is the guy behind the counter at Foot Locker.
And you know what? In a world of PC, why can't we still have dumb blonde jokes when, seriously,
She's happy to own it.
She does.
I'm guessing you would have been doing most of the heavy lifting in the air.
she is tremendous.
My favourite story, told to me by Santo, was that when she first moved down from Brisbane to New South Wales, whatever, she bought her TV with her because she still wanted to watch the Brisbane news. Now, you can ask her and confirm whether that is a true or false.
I find it believable.
Hey, we're talking about behaviour. In particular, golf. We mentioned cheating at golf. Have you ever... I know you're a keen golfer and I play with you a lot.
I can't imagine you ever.
I've seen some scratchings on your scorecard.
It's the worst thing you could possibly...
Yes,
thank you.
Sean Goff, you know, Goffy that works here?
Goffy, yes.
He cheated when Hamish and I played golf.
No kidding.
Yep.
Really?
That's
unbelievable.
What did you get? And he's like, oh, you won two, doing the point thing, and said six, and we both knew it was an eight. And we're like, all right. And we just started at the station, so we couldn't.
So you couldn't speak
up? Like, I'm just drawing down a six here, going, all right. But, I mean, to add to bad behaviour for Ken, this is mine from years of friendship with Hamish and I. He had a treadmill that he didn't want anymore, and it was sitting on his front balcony, deck at his house. And I said, oh, mate, I've driven past your house. It's out the front. It doesn't look like you're using it. Can I have it? I want to try it. And he's like, yeah, of course. And he got it, and I had it for a week. And I was like, oh, it's a bit cumbersome. Don't really want it. So I put it on eBay and sold it.
Which he could have done if he hadn't been bothered.
Exactly. I took the money from just borrowing something for a week.
I asked you about cheating at golf, and you mentioned Kim Jong-un. Do you remember his best round?
Yeah, wasn't it? It was seven
hole-in-ones.
Wow.
There's not even that many par threes on a course.
Has anybody ever done it?
Tell you who else has cheated at golf.
Who's that?
Peter Thompson.
Really?
The great
five-time
Peter
British Open winner.
Careful.
Well, listen.
What are you saying?
Well, he's put in an incorrect scorecard.
Oh, okay.
Are you sure?
Well, so the story goes, and please don't complain. I'm not calling him a cheat.
You are. You
well,
just
no,
did.
I am. Yeah, but I am. But I'm. But, but for effect,
right?
Okay.
So, but what he did? No, no. So you know when you're putting out, you've got a foot putt,
yes,
and you want to be the last putt because it's on the 18th green, and everyone putts out, and then you dab it in.
Yeah,
it was on someone's line, so he's got done the old putter head, moved the ball, put it on the other side of the putter head,
take it back,
and then never replaced it. So when he's come down, he's put his marker down and binked it in. To me, I would have called him out. You cheat. And torn up his scorecard.
You're bringing it up all these years later.
Oh, well.
But, you know, cheating at golf is terrible. It's like, you know, for girls, I would say that's the equivalent of stealing your girlfriend's baby name. So that's why I say never.
You need to let this go.
No, you can't.
It's so true. But also, you can, you're dubbed for it for life. If you,
it will stick.
You know, it's like Kingslayer if you're into Game of Thrones. Yeah, you can't shake that reputation. You rock up with someone, you're like, he's a cheater.
It's a game changer, isn't it?
Hey, can you hang around? No,
I've got a story for you.
You've got a story for us?
I've got a quick story for you because Beck had her wisdom teeth out just recently.
Yep. Oof.
Right? And it was awesome.
I hope you've got private health insurance, you two. Yes. There's a lot of hospital.
What are you doing that? Is it you give Beck a wide berth for a while, let that blow over, or are you of a couple of minutes?
What do you mean a wide berth?
With
wisdom teeth.
You know, I was
call me,
there.
Call me when it's all good.
I was there and I wanted to care for her because I owed her big time after
the back
passage. She's well and truly still in
bed. She's got lots of credit.
So she recovered pretty well, like four days. And I was chatting to another mate of mine and AP, and I said to him, he goes, oh, how's Beck feeling? He's like, good. And he's like, oh, it took me 6 weeks to get over my wisdom teeth. I was like, 6 weeks?
Yeah, okay.
Why? He goes, well, I got it done for cash.
Hey.
And I went, what? Oh. He said, yeah, I got it done for cash.
Like cut price dentistry.
That yeah, and I, and I said, what do you mean cash? And he said, yeah, well, I said, my mate's dad said he could do it for cash. I said, is he a dentist? Like, yeah. He said, but I'm in my gown. And it was done out of hospital, but in my gown. And he came, the mate's dad comes in and goes, have you got the cash? He's in the gown talking to the anaesthetist. And he's like, oh, yeah, but it's in the lock. He's like, I'll get the nurse to go get it.
What?
Oh,
so the anaesthetic doesn't go in. Nurse runs off. Nurse comes back and goes, what's the pin code on the locker? So, comes back out with an envelope. He's in my jacket pocket. The last thing he sees before he goes under is the envelope being passed to his mate's dad. His mate giving him the thumbs up.
And away we go.
6 weeks later.
That's very
shady.
So
I wanted to ask today on 133353, what shouldn't you have done
in
for cash? Or should have paid for in cash. I had a mate once who paid in cash at a dentist.
Really?
I won't name him. Gilbo. this is good. Yeah,
there are important things out there. You know, a house purchase.
Under the counter.
I don't think you should be doing it in cash.
Yeah.
There are important things out there that you shouldn't be
having a baby.
In. Yes.
Gynecology. Cut price gyno.
They're not cash.
All right.
133353. Give us a buzz. Andy Lee's with us. Talking about your generation back 7:30 tonight on 9. More with Andy after this.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Got Andy Lee joining us now. By the way, talk about generation huge. Back tonight, 7:30 on 9.
Cannot wait. You were talking about dentistry for cash.
Yeah, a mate of mine got his wisdom teeth taken out. His mate's dad said, I'll do it for cash. It took him 6 weeks to recover.
Wow. Jeepers.
What's the weirdest thing or the silliest thing you've ever done for by cash. Paying with cash?
Yeah.
Have you got one?
No.
No.
Because I'm sensible.
Probably sex for me.
Okay. That's what we're asking for. Go to the calls.
Leo. You idiot.
What's going on?
Let's go quickly go to Leo.
Leo,
my apologies. Sorry for that.
No, that's all right. No drama. Yep.
Good on you, Leo. What'd you pay cash for?
My mate's uncle was a dentist who did it in his kitchen, so I had all my teeth removed.
All your teeth removed?
Yeah.
And then what?
And then I had no teeth and bled for a week.
Going in, had
a general anaesthetic as well in the kitchen.
Leo.
What? Wow.
Was it really that big a saving?
It was horrible. Nah, and then I thought I'll do the right thing, and I went to India and had implants done, and I just had them removed. Okay. So that was cash too.
It kind of sounds like you have...
It sounds like you've got no teeth at all now, Leo.
Quick question. What was the desired outcome of the first kitchen job?
Yeah.
Like when you said... You're having them all removed. Was something meant to replace them, or?
They put teeth straight in, but they didn't fit. And from the look of his teeth, I should have known not to get it done.
We got to put Leo on the standby list.
Like people having
that's
breakfast
amazing.
And stuff.
I'm so sorry.
They didn't fit.
All right, Steve.
Amazing.
Leo's on the standby list to go to the Red Centre to see Midnight Oil. Well done.
Steve, what's going on, mate? What did you pay for in cash?
Oh, mate, I paid for a vasectomy in cash.
You did not. Yes. What?
Yeah, true story. I was ringing around trying to get prices to get your vasectomy done. And anywhere
sorry, do some people shop around for a price on a vasectomy? This is the first I've heard of this.
You want to know what the market rate is.
I normally use a discount voucher for one of those books you buy.
Because I'm thinking anything that is below happening down there, I would pay the top dollar so they don't stuff
it
up.
So what did you do, Steve?
So basically, I went and I was ringing around. The average price was between $2,500 to $5,000, plus a waiting list.
Pretty steep.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I said. And I'd already had five kids, so trust me, I didn't want any more.
Yeah.
Every time someone took their pants off, I told them they're pregnant. Yeah. But anyway.
Bragger.
So I talked to a mate of mine, and he said, go see this doctor. He said, oh, so I went to this doctor, and he said, yeah, no worries. He said, I'll put a couple of hundred on Medicare, and you bring me $300 cash. No card, happy cash.
$500
tops. $500.
Where did he do it? It was at his practice?
Yeah, at his practice. He an old doctor. He was about 86.
Oh, my God.
And Steve...
which made me nervous.
Yes. Steve, how are your 10 children going?
Yes. Yeah, they're too bad.
Right.
Did it work? I have to ask.
Yeah, it did work. It did work, actually. And like after I saw probably for a week or two, but my mates reckon that's how like normal anyway.
Ah, so. Well done, Steve.
Oh, right. You're back a referral on the pony. For it.
Yeah. I like it. Ryan, you can boot this home. Ryan, what did you pay cash for that was no good or that you shouldn't have?
I paid cash for a tattoo home job by a bikie.
Okay, and how'd that work out for you?
Yeah, not very good. He had the needle out too far and it hit my rib bone and popped out of the gun.
Wow.
Hey, and it was my first tattoo.
It was
and
your first
guess it's because it's a bikie, you're not asking for your money.
Well, I did pick up the glass of ink that he was dipping his thing in, thinking it was the water which was next to it because I was that dizzy at the time. But yeah, it was pretty funny.
Drink the
you
ink.
Had a sip.
I drank the ink.
You're having
Ryan, you didn't have it
Ryan,
together.
Ryan, put him on the list.
Good luck.
Thank you for coming in. Always a pleasure to have you.
Oh, that was a pleasure just to listen to those.
Don't want to see too much flirting tonight.
No. Well, people,
can you control yourself? Come
what
on.
What is going on?
Tune in to, like, you'll see the moment of panic when I get accused by Sophie of hitting on her and I stop participating in a TV show and I start using the camera as a direct messaging service for my girlfriend where I'm just pleading to her. I promise you, Beck, I'm certainly not doing this.
That panic look.
So I'm taking Beck out tonight for dinner and we're not watching it.
Good.
go. Cheers, guys.
Thanks. Andy Lee.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it's going to be a monster, make no mistake, coming up. Nanny State. We open up the lines. Any evidence of the nanny state?
Oh, evidence
of
plenty.
In your neck of the woods. Give us one example, Jane.
A Sydney bar has cancelled the game of bulls after someone filed a noise complaint.
Well, that's understandable.
Possibly the most silent game in the world.
What is it? The sound of two bulls.
Clicking
together.
Too noisy for
clacking
Sydney
away
people.
Like a giant executive toy.
Yeah.
Must be stopped.
Correct.
We'll get into that. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. But we'll start at the top with some bard talk, I believe.
Ooh.
Rockin' Triple M with the bard. We're going to do that with this bloke.
Last time we caught up with Ben Elton, we found out what the British public think of Blackadder.
Fourth on the list of the most popular sitcoms of all time.
But what does the British public know? They voted for Brexit.
And we discovered he isn't knighted.
No, I've never been offered anything. I think they think I'd probably turn it down. That's my thought. But frankly, after they knighted Baldrick, I thought the currency has been debased.
This time he has a new movie giving us an insight into the retirement life of William Shakespeare. All is true.
You went to London and became this great writer. With a wife at home, you were hardly here.
To us, you're a guest. Good night, husband.
Retirement hasn't exactly brought the peace we might have hoped for.
Please welcome back to the show, Ben Elton.
Hello, Ben. It's great to have you back.
What a pleasure. My favourite radio show in the world. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's delightful to hear. And we're going to get stuck right into the bard as yes. Mickey says. We've both done Shakespeare plays in our lives. So
you mean at school, or were you did you don the tights officially?
No, at school.
I put on the pantaloons on a couple of occasions to tread the boards.
And about your Shakespeare work as well. Apart from your private, we love all cross.
Here's the deal.
Yep.
The bard, we know the place he holds in English history and the world of literature. So there's everyone else, and then there's William Shakespeare. I can't think of any other art form where there's someone so clearly defined as the best in the biz. Mm. How do you approach that, and are you nervous introducing this whole subject matter to a new audience?
No, not at all. I'm never nervous about my work, you know. I mean, I have a go at it and do my best, and as Shakespeare said, above all to thine own self be true, and I try to be when I'm writing. I was kind of nervous when I sent the first draft to Ken. Ken Branagh. I mean, some of your listeners may be wondering what we're talking about. We normally talk about the young ones and Blackadder.
But that's what we like, because some of our audience and a lot of our audience would love to see this film. And
All Is True is the name of the film. Just quickly bring us up to speed with the subject matter.
Well, it's a drama. It's a serious film. Yeah. It's the first time I've ever done that. Ken Branagh rang me just over a year ago here in Western Australia, from where we speak, and said, I want you to write a serious drama about Shakespeare in retirement. I'd written this sitcom called Upstart Crow, starring David Mitchell, which has been quite a hit in the UK, and that's a comedy about Shakespeare. And Ken actually was in the Christmas special last year as a special guest. That was pretty exciting for everyone. He said, "No, I want you to write a drama about a man facing his legacy, returning to a family he's largely neglected. Think Mike Lee, think Secrets and Lies, think of a taut family emotional psychological drama." And so,
to be set in 1613.
Well,
basically.
It happens to revolve around a man whose creative life and whose success was incalculable. Even in his day, he was recognised as the greatest playwright of his age, and yet he was, in many ways, one could surmise, a failure as a family man. He lived apart for a good 20 years, but he did return to his family. He returned to a bereaved family. Of course, they'd lost a son. He'd never given himself time to grieve. I mean, they lost their son, Hamnet. Interesting that, isn't it? That, Hamnet with an N. And he died in 1595. And Shakespeare went straight to work, wrote three more plays, the first of which was The Merry Wives of Windsor, we believe. So he went straight to comedy. So there's a lot of interesting stuff there. And Ken threw me a challenge. And I guess the most nervous moment was when I heard that Judi Dench and Ian McKellen were reading my script. Well, that was
good
nervous.
Lord. I mean, the cast is quite incredible. Unreal. Of course, Kenneth Branagh, who also directed it, and is playing William Shakespeare. And the makeup's extraordinary. He looks, when you think of what William, there's not many pictures of William Shakespeare that existed, really.
There's a couple of portraits, and Ken told me he actually went to the National Portrait Gallery in London stared into the eyes of the bard. There's the famous sort of pirate one where he's got that little earring looking a little bit rakish. and Ken noticed the prominent nose and all of that. And yes, I think the costume and makeup on All Is True was quite extraordinary.
It was too.
When
and,
you were sitting there writing this film, are you in the smoking jacket with the quill? Are you doing it Shakespeare style? What do you do? You got a big frill on your neck.
I plucked a feather from the chicken's ass and dipped it in a solution of partly my own blood, which I believe is sometimes used for ink, and wrote. No, I applied modern technology as I've done since 1985. I got my first computer at Stephen Fry's recommendation in 1985, and I've word processed ever since. I haven't progressed. I don't do anything else with my computers, but I really do love to
well,
to
it's the quality that comes out that is very clear. And I love, this is what we love about the relationship that you have with all these amazing other artists. When you refer to Ken and Steve, I don't know if Stephen Fry's ever been called Steve, has he?
No.
But you've known them for so long.
All my life. Yes. I've known Stephen since I was 21. It was an extraordinary day. It was December 1981, and I walked into a room to start work on a new sketch show, and there was Hugh Laurie, Stephen Fry and Emma Thompson. I met them all in there the same moment, and Robbie Coltrane, and we're all very close.
Kicking
to
on Ken, very I, well, everybody.
I put it to you that Shakespeare's comedy wasn't his strength. Discuss.
Well, I have a lot of fun with that in Upstart Crow. Certainly, look, it is very funny. It just requires copious research and reference to footnotes. That's all. You'll get it in the end, and it's worth the effort.
Ben, we love having you on chatting with us on Kennedy Malloy. Hang around for us, please.
Oh, I'd love to.
Thank you.
By the way, All Is True is in cinemas around Australia tomorrow. You want to check that out? Ben Elton is our special guest. More with Ben right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
All Is True, a fantastic movie which is in cinemas tomorrow, written by our very special guest. Joining us from our Perth studios this afternoon is Ben Elton.
Sounds like a date flick to me. Sounds like, you know.
Well, it's more than that.
Joining me in the Perth studio.
I don't know. I think it's in anybody. As I say, I stress it's a drama, but God, if you're going to have a drama, you couldn't have more of a dramatic cast than that. Look, it's a very beautiful film. Ken's a brilliant director, and the cinematographer's one of the true greats. You know, I'm still pinching myself that I was involved with it as screenwriter. Yeah. You know, when I see my name, sharing a bill with all that lot.
Well, I'm not surprised at all, because as you pointed out, and this is something that we kind of forget, in his day, William Shakespeare was incredibly popular, and it's rare for a writer to be, or any artist, to be that popular in their day. And you're the same. So you write for the general public as he did, because it wasn't theatre types who were going to see his plays, were they? It was the rank and file who were turning up to go and watch some theatre.
At the risk of getting overly populist and feeling like we're shock jocks, there's no doubt about it that it's very, very rare that that popular work is also given critical acclaim. I certainly have suffered at that, although they're not a good review, but more kickings, I have to say. But Shakespeare was the same. I mentioned that my sitcom that I write about Shakespeare is called Upstart Crow.
Yep.
Well, that is a quote from the only review of Shakespeare, contemporary review, that survives to this day. And it was a bit slapping. It was a slag off. They called him an upstart crow, and it said he tried to cloak himself in the feathers of a poet and a gentleman, and was basically saying he's not good enough, he's not the thing. And that's really part of a theme in All Is True, because Shakespeare definitely must have suffered a social inferiority complex.
Yes.
He suffered at the hands of the English class system. He was the only poet of the English Renaissance who did not go to Oxford or Cambridge University. The grip that those two institutions had on the arts establishment then is exactly the same as it does now. Mm. And Shakespeare was the outsider. Yeah. All the others, Marlowe, Kidd, Spencer, Green, they were Oxbridge boys. I explore that in the movie.
Mm. Is it your opinion that he wrote all of his own work?
Absolutely. William Shakespeare definitely wrote all Shakespeare's plays, and if it wasn't him, it was some bloke with the same name.
I'm going to go an early call, Ben. I don't want to put the moz on it, but it looks like it's got Oscar nomination written all over it, this movie.
Do you know what? I mean, I think they were hoping, but I think we missed it. I think we fall between two stools, and I mean sense.
At least an Emmy, for God's sake.
In that I think we sort of missed last year and missed this year. I'm not too late and too early, but it doesn't matter. The reviews actually amazing. I say bad reviews, but actually this one has had incredible reviews in the UK, which is very nice. Maybe it's Dame Judy. You know, let's face it.
Well, she's pretty damn good. It's a great cast. And Ian McKellen, of course, Ian McKellen in there as well. Now, I was telling you that I was going to read a book, your latest book, Identity Crisis, which is out now. And I haven't read book for so long because I just watch TV shows. I binge watch, and it's terrible.
Where'd you find the time to watch that?
Well, I was in I was in Cooperpedia in an underground cave.
I've been to Cooperpedia. We shot Start there in 1992.
You did indeed.
The places you have to go to concentrate on reading a book, trying to go get in an underground cave.
But I thought they had a lovely, it was kismet really that I happened to be there, and I knew that you'd done Stark there.
Cooperpedia should make that part of their kind of tourist thing, you know.
Don't worry. That's what I did. I took my kids around to all the places that Mad Max 3 had been shot there as well, as quite a lot of your fans. But I want to say congratulations on Identity Crisis. I really enjoyed it. It's got everything you want. I mean, I can see the movie made tomorrow would be brilliant.
You know, anyone with a few million, that would be
fabulous. It would be lovely, wouldn't it? It won't baffle you, Mick. You might learn a lot because it's quite technical and Ben's all over it and you're behind.
I don't go to see Ben Elton stuff or read his stuff for an educational experience.
I go for a laugh
and a good time and suspend reality for a while.
I'm very glad you enjoyed it, Jane. It was a great effort, and it's doing very well, riding high in the charts here in Australia, entirely due to my appearance on Kennedy Malloy.
Thank you.
It's a good laugh, I hope people...
Number three in England, I heard. Was it
Number three in the hardback fiction charts, and I'm very pleased. Best result I've had in a novel.
Good for you.
You're an upstart crow, Ben Elton. Always have been, always will be.
The feathers of a gentleman.
Thanks for joining us, mate.
We'll see you soon. Thanks, Ben Elton.
All right, mate.
A drive home that's always surprising. This
is Kennedy Malloy.
When you've got someone like Ben Elton in the studio, you'd be mad to toss him out after two segments. So we've asked Ben to stay around for a bit because there's quite a few other questions we wanted to talk about, being an Englishman and all.
Yes. British and Australian.
Yes, that's right. You're a bit of a bop
artist.
I'll
be a Brit for this section.
Is there a Brexit update? Is with Theresa May, how's she travelling? What's going on?
A Brexit update. Still screwed, I'm afraid. There's no update there, and I don't think anything's coming along very soon to sort it out. Complete madness, as I said to you, I think, last time. If you want a sensible answer, do not ask a stupid question. And the question, do you want to be in or out of Europe, is so complex and multifaceted, it can't be dealt with in a referendum, as we're discovering. Anyway.
Funny about that, exactly. Theresa May, is she
going to survive this?
She's such a... I mean, it's funny, I was listening when I came... You were doing that... Theresa May is an extraordinary figure in that she just seems to be a political survivor. She, as far as I can see, she's interested. She's a sort of natural conservative, a vicar's daughter. She likes low tax. She's probably not that interested in people on welfare. I don't know. But basically, you know, very...
She's
kind
a little
of not
bit
a
nutty,
particularly...
isn't she?
Well, I don't think she's nutty. I think she's the opposite of nutty. I think she's under ordinary. She's just so boringly nothing. She's a career... head girl. She's
love
a classic Tory girl. I mean, it's interesting. I was listening coming in. You were talking about what's the naughtiest thing you've ever done? Well, you must know that this was a huge meme in Britain only a few weeks ago because Theresa May did an interview actually during the last election, which she spectacularly screwed up, you know, turning a massive majority into a minority government.
Yeah.
And by going stern and stable and firm and stable over and over and over again. But anyway, when she was asked in one interview, you know, the personality question. What's the naughtiest thing you ever did? She thought for about 20 seconds and then said, as a young girl, I ran through a field of wheat.
Wow.
And that was it. And, I mean, you know, it's sort of such a wonderful image, this sort of, I mean, you know, but that's the naughtiest thing. She trampled a bit of wheat, and it is naughty.
I do have the image of her running through the wheat naked.
It wasn't naked, and it wasn't pissed, and it wasn't high. It was just exuberant, so bless her. But
Gerald Manley Hopkins did it first, I should point out. It's the only thing I'll say on the front.
Theresa Manley made it second.
Hey, I have to ask you, huge news emanating out of England, old blighty. The royal baby.
Oh, the baby.
I know you are a royal watcher stroke correspondent. How have you been affected by the news?
I'm unaffected by royal news on the whole, but this one did. I do think it is amazing and not commented enough on. You know, we're so worried these days that we're living in a divided society. We're all against each other, and it does feel that way. And yet here we have such a wonderful example of natural inclusivity. Here we have the first mixed-race royal baby. Mm. And I'm certain that Harry and Meghan didn't do it for that reason, but that's the result. He fell in love with somebody not white, not, you know, etc.
And not from the UK
either. Exactly.
Yes.
And a real amazing thing. There's a mixed-race royal baby.
Incredible.
I think that's one. But what slightly worries me, I was thinking, because I thought you'd ask about this. And, of course, we're all going, a mixed-race, how wonderful. Just like we did. Who would have thought 10 years ago even there'd be a mixed-race royal baby? And we said that with Obama, didn't we? A black president. Who would have thought even 10 years ago? And look what's happened. We've got a black president. Unfortunately, look what followed. So I'm just hoping the next royal baby won't turn out to be a white supremacist. You know?
Buckingham Palace is going to be burnt to the ground sometimes.
Well, now we've got to go through it all, and it's joy to us who are broadcasters to have bloody baby names and all that. What? Apparently, Harry and Meghan have outraged media outlets in the UK. They're demanding that a US television network be present when they actually show off the baby for the first time. So there's a bit of controversy there.
Well enough of demanding. There's a word already that you're using straight out of the tab.
I'm ready for it.
This idea, every outrage is whipped up beyond. I mean, I'm sure the Americans will get their piece of the media as indeed the Brits do. But I feel very sorry. Actually, I feel really sorry for the Royals. You know, people say, I wouldn't mind their job living in luxury. Can you imagine?
No.
The pressure of being picked on day in, day out, and then you're nice for a few days and then start picking on them again. I've actually got a lot of sympathy for them.
And all the good stuff's been taken out of their repertoire, the chopping off of the heads, the starting your own religion.
Multiple wives.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, look, we won't get into the debate in Australia, but nonetheless, the big question is what replaced it? The one that I actually think the royalty, certainly in Britain, have a good place in that they fill a power vacuum that if they didn't, who would, well, you know? Yeah. We say, ask yourself who you'd want instead. I remember Geoffrey Archer ran for Lord Mayor of London.
That's right.
For Mayor of London. I thought, you know, I think I'd rather have anybody's son or daughter, you know. So,
was that before or after he was in prison?
Yeah, I think a bog standard family having, you know, having their kids and that's it, you know. Personally, I think, you know, in Australia, I think we should have an Indigenous head of state. I think that would be an incredible example to the world. Could you imagine? No, you know, not the political power.
I agree.
But the representative, the
Governor General.
Yes.
What an extraordinary, I think, head of state. But, you know, the head of state in Britain, the Queen doesn't have any power, but she represents what Britain is historically, and she's reached right back to the roots of Britain. Well, who could do that better than an Indigenous
head of state? And even if a lot of young people today are basing their knowledge of the royal family on the series The Crown.
Yeah, exactly. We wonder how true that is. It is blimmy good fun, though, isn't it?
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
Hey, we're going to fly Ben Elton, the movie, All Is True, etc. Just one last question. So in your research of the Bard, what did you learn about him that you didn't previously know? Is there was one thing that
question,
you go,
Mick.
So much, because we know so all these theories, did he write, we don't know much about. We know so much more about Shakespeare than we do about any other Renaissance poet. And for instance, in his last 3 years, when he returned to his retirement, both his daughters were involved in sex scandals in the village.
This is like the Kardashians.
In his own, in the tiny town of Stratford, just 2,000 people or less, 1,500 people, both Shakespeare girls, famous father, both involved in sex scandals. I don't suppose you've got time to hear about them, but they're in the
film. Well, I'll tell you this, a sex scandal, Elizabethan, was it exposed ankle?
It was much more serious
Haven't
than
you seen Game of Thrones? I think they get into a bit more than that.
His elder daughter was accused publicly of infidelity and having spread gonorrhea. That is true. And the younger daughter, the 3 days after her wedding, her husband was discovered to have impregnated another village girl who subsequently died in childbirth with the child. It's incredible.
Well, that'll be in the second movie on Shakespeare.
Amazing.
You've got a sequel.
You can look it up. It's all there.
You've got us hooked, Ben.
All Is True as the movie in cinemas tomorrow. Let's thank Ben Elton joining us on Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
He's a truly interesting...
I love Chandler.
One of the great artists of the day. Yeah. I think he'll be remembered as.
I think so too. And also, again, there he goes out of the middle of nowhere doing a film on Shakespeare.
Yeah.
But I love the fact he goes, Ken gave me a call. And he's not a name dropper at all. I want to emphasise that because that's what I said. You've known these blokes and birds for so long.
If you
want
to see Kenneth Branagh and Shakespeare off the chain, I commend you to Henry V. The Branagh version, directed and starring.
Okay. Yep.
It is one of the great, as an introduction to Shakespeare, it is one of the truly epic, heroic.
Right.
It's battles, it's Game of Thrones, but it was real.
Correct.
It happened. They're storming castles, they're chopping heads off, they're in foreign territories.
I'm in.
And it is absolutely
bawdy,
top shelf.
It's a bit ripe here and there. Yeah, I always add that to get people on board from Triple M.
The Agincourt speech, wow. All right, off you go.
I'm going to talk about some crazy food, I'm not calling them fetishes, but disgraceful eating habits that people have uncovered.
And why are you
bringing
this up?
Particularly with fast food, a guy has put on the internet the way he put a picture of his chicken nuggets from McDonald's. He has 4 dipping sauces. We're still curious as to how he gets 4 because he just buys them all. He puts it on a plate and then he does the before and after picture, which you can see. He's peeled off all the skin off the chicken nuggets and separates it. So he has naked
What's he
nuggets.
Interested in?
He just wants to eat the chicken nuggets naked. He doesn't want to eat the batter.
I'd be more interested in the batter.
No, that looks
good to me.
People are calling this horrific.
That doesn't look good to me.
It doesn't. It looks...
And clearly not identifiable as chicken.
No,
they look naked as the day they were born. And he's got it there. Well, thousands of people
So why are people outraged?
Because it's sacrilege. Because people are... I know that there's particular young people that I know who are obsessed with your chicken nugget from McDonald's only.
How so?
I don't know what the why they love them so, but there's people I know who are obsessed with them as they are around the world, but they all eat them whole. This guy's
friend Lenny's favorite dish is the
is it really?
McNuggets from the McDonald's.
The McNuggets. People have gone nuts over this, and it's brought about some other weird food fetishes that we put out to the internet.
We asked people what they were.
So Mark Sales says, I turn hamburgers upside down and I eat one ingredient at a time.
That's weird.
So he eats the bottom bun, okay, then the meat, and he says, I'm not allowed to eat in public.
Stay on
now.
The line, dude. We'll put you onto one of our councillors.
Right. Rob Roy says,
why did you turn it upside down?
It's just a thing.
Someone else told me they did that too.
Because then you got the meat on the top. It's the first thing you bite into, I imagine. Rob Roy says, I dip garlic bread into tomato sauce.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Sacrilegious.
Stupid.
Shane McMillan, wait for this one. I like Vegemite on fruit hot cross buns. Ooh. Mm. Ooh. I've talked about people that I know peeling a dim sim and just eating the
name
skin.
Names.
Oh, right. Someone in my house who might be 12.
Oh.
Butter on
hang on, but Pip just eats the...
Just eats the skin.
That's what I'm talking about with this guy.
No, he eats the chicken only. Mm. And here's this one. Now, I've got to relate to this. Sharon Sully says, I share salmon with my cat. And William Olsen says, not unusual. My mother used to make up tuna sandwiches for us and then feed some to her old furry fluffy cat. Now, I've served tuna the other day. I was making a tuna sandwich. Yes. And our dog, who is bench height, her nose is going in. Mm. She liked to finish off the tuna. I go, half for the child, half for the dog. That's how it works in our house. Do you have any crazy fetishes, food scenarios?
Yeah, I like to get my burger rings, put a big handful in my mouth, and then wash it down with chocolate Big M. But so it's all in your mouth at the same time. Trust me.
So it dissolves
Give it a burl.
Dissolves
it is
in.
Like it's all happening.
I know that twisty sandwiches was something that happened at a canteen at us.
French fries and soft serve is a big thing too, isn't it? Like
French fries and a soft serve.
Yeah, yeah. At McDonald's.
What's yours?
Worcestershire.
Giant strawberries in Paris.
No, Worcestershire sauce on fried egg.
Worcestershire sauce on mashed potato is good.
Mm. There you go.
Maybe with onion. Do you ever have onion in your mashed potato?
Nope.
Interesting.
Have you ever made mashed potato yourself?
Look, I get it to the point, but I don't mash it personally.
Mash it in your
boiled
mouth.
Boiled a potato.
Oh, well, you can give us a call. I don't know how much time we've got to deal with this, but if
have you got a crazy food? Like, it's like a fast food thing, something you do with your fish and chips.
Give us a call. We may or may not have time to take them. We'll see how we go.
3-5-3.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong? This is Kennedy Malloy.
A McDonald's fan destroyed the internet almost when he put a photo of his peeled chicken McNuggets on the internet as he become a household
massive
name.
News.
Yeah. Samir Jaffrey from Louisiana. People have gone, this is disgraceful. We're trying to find out what other people do with their food.
What's your food fetish? Peter's on the line. Peter, what weird stuff do you do?
Oh, how you going, guys? Mate, I love you've got to get two fresh slices of soft bread.
Yep.
Smooth peanut butter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Put the peanut butter on both pieces of bread.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then icy cold canned beetroot in between.
What the
You're an
hell?
Idiot, Peter. You're an
that
idiot.
No, I'm telling you, try it. It's
mate, even turning that upside down.
How did you make that discovery, Peter?
A chef from New Zealand actually told me about 15 years ago.
Yeah, chef's a bit strong, I reckon.
Thank you for that, Peter.
Thanks for the call, Peter. Darren's on the line. Darren, what is it? What do you do, mate?
You get a crusty long bread roll from the Vietnamese bakery.
Yep.
You butter it.
Yep.
You put a sausage roll in there, sauce, and away you go.
Who are you, Elvis?
Then you call the hospital. Does he get a booking?
Yep.
Do him.
Absolutely.
He's in.
Yeah. Darren, you're on the standby list.
Good luck to you. Might go to the desert to go see Midnight Oil on the Living End, which, by the way, you can enter online at kennedymalloy.com.au.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Just about done today, but we want to thank the mighty HSV Chevrolet Silverado.
Yes, it does
everything big, very big.
It's getting very excited about this.
I do get excited vehicle. About Silverado.
Oh, look, it's a...
You see this one I have
it's
in
a behemoth,
hand?
As you say.
This is like porn to me.
Well, this
automotive
is,
porn.
This is a glossy booklet that you would get if you were interested. You've got to go right now to hsv.com.au. Go and find your local dealer have a drive of one of these babies.
Give this to your dad for Father's
Day. Oh, my. Give it to your mum.
Well, for Mother's Day.
It's like a centerfold.
They may be a big...
It falls out.
It does.
Oh, blimey.
They are a massive vehicle,
huge.
I must say.
Go to the back, Jane. Go to the back. You've got the colour chart.
I like that.
You've got your only. There's only eight colours. I like that too. You can't. There's no.
They're all
colours of the rainbow here. Yeah. Have you seen them?
Oh, my
it's all
God.
Restrained power. Black, Cajun red tin coat.
Yep.
Deep ocean blue metallic.
I like
Nirvana
when you say
metallic.
That.
Oh.
I just love it. Red hot.
Yeah. I like silver ice metallic.
Do you know what you are to me?
What?
Summit white.
Oh, that doesn't sound very sexy.
No, it does. Hey, how can I speak more highly of this?
No, you can't. But the interior with the leather interior is beautiful. It's got your Bose stereo. Oh. You have your USB ports.
How much leather is in there? Because let's be honest, it's about half a tennis court inside the cabin of
it's massive.
We could do our show from there.
Well,
we could do our whole show. Why don't we do a show
on
the road from the cabin?
We can do that.
Let's take it on the road.
Why don't we drive it up to the Red Dust concert?
That sounds good.
The Big Red Bash experience.
Big Red Bash.
Let's go to the Big Red Bash experience with Midnight Oil.
Yep.
And we'll put Midnight Oil in the tray.
Peter Garrett would be happy to.
In the back of the Chevrolet Silverado.
Rob Hurst.
And just drive it around.
We could just do acoustic versions. You know, driving around the country in the back with, Rob Hurst.
Pick up the whole band in there.
Well,
you get the amps in there.
You get a drum kit, easy.
Mm.
Where would you go first in the Silver Island?
Oh,
I might head to the mountains.
I think you go to a pub first, like a real outback. I think you've got to go to...
if you could drive it anywhere in the world,
would
you go to altitude? Would you drive it through the mountains like the Rockies? Would you get it up there to feel part of the epic landscape? Would you take it through the desert and get a plume of dust going for about 8 miles? Is that the type of thing you do?
It feels like Emma Gorge, somewhere like that.
Get it off road.
Yeah, off road.
Imagine off road. You wouldn't even know when you were off road. Hey guys, when are we going off road? Mm. We've been off road for about an hour.
And you didn't even notice because of the comfort level.
Do some circle work.
I just, one day, I'm looking at it longingly and I'm about to burst into tears.
Well, don't, because it all could. And you know what, also?
Where's my Silverado?
It's got the toolbox too that is just out of this world, the way it looks. But you don't have to always just put tools in.
I'm so happy about it. All right.
You've got tennis rackets.
Oh, stop
in there.
It now.
Golf clubs. Right.
I'm getting Bill Short and teary.
Okay. Well, hsv.com.au to find your local dealer. Thanks to the Chevrolet Silverado.
What's happening tomorrow?
Tomorrow we've got Scott Pape and Ann Edmonds.
Oh, okay. So Papey will have a bit to say about interest rates, the looming election, whether to batten down the hatches or play on.
And I'm sure Ann will have the same amount to say about it.
That's it. All right. That'll be your Thursday, Kennedy Malloy.
Now you're done catching up on Kennedy Malloy. Check out the Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big.